three behaviors you probably won't do that would have made you thousands. The behaviors that we see the very best of our salons doing right now to stand out above the rest, to turn right whenever an house is turning left. Make the numbers easy for your team. If you make the numbers easy for your team, they're connected to why those numbers are important. Honestly, the awareness of just knowing what the target is, knowing what the gap is, and then sharing the wisdom of the team, of the group, to be able to say, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. Honestly, you're gonna accelerate confidence, and maybe even more importantly,
welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today, I want to let you in on a secret. Salons who are growing right now, they're not following the crowd, actually. They're moving a little bit differently. And in today's episode, Joel is going to talk to you exactly about that. The three behaviors that most salon CEOs probably won't do, but that would have made you Joel's going to be talking about the three business behaviors most salon CEOs probably won't do, but that would have made you thousands, because they're not complicated, actually, because they require you to think just a little bit differently. And we're talking about the way that you communicate with your clients, with your team, the way they understand their numbers, and the one metric that matters the most, more than likes, comments, or pretty branding. You want to keep your salon growing, maybe while others are pulling back, and this is the conversation you want to listen to. Joel, he's one of our million-dollar coaches inside of Salon Mastery. He knows how to get you there more than anyone, because the next stage of business growth will not come from winging it, you know, more winging it, not from doing it harder. It will come from the right structure at the right stage for your salon growth. So let's jump into the episode with Joel.
Most salons won't survive. Like, more than 50% of the salons that currently exist, they won't last and they won't survive. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, by when, Joel? By when will 54% of salons be sold, out of business, no longer in existence? That's the wrong question. The right question is, so what does the top 40% look like? What is the top 10%? What do the top 1% of salon owners do so that they can reap the benefits forever, for as long as you want to be in business for? I think this is a really important time. Many of you will start to see salons around you, maybe even close to you. You'll see it in the Facebook communities that you're a part of. You'll see people selling and they've had enough and they're frustrated and they're stressed out and they're burnt out and all the things. And an unconscious narrative will start to begin about, oh, there's a lot of people going left. I go left too. And this podcast really is about what it means to go right instead of left with everybody else, because there's no doubt in my mind that as the world continues over the next 12, 24, 36 months, there's going to be a lot of change. And as that change occurs, a lot of things will happen in society that are not currently happening. But one thing that I would put the house on is that your clients' beauty and aesthetic needs, your clients' care needs, your clients' confident needs, won't change. They might change at a micro level, but the need to look good, feel good, and be at my best. You know, like when you walk out of the salon, like you've just had the treatment, the service, like this is one of the like peak human experiences in terms of self-love, in terms of positive self-image. Like, what you do and deliver is not going away, especially anytime soon. So if over half of the salons were going to kind of go out of business, no time frame, then what would happen to all of the people that are getting served by this business? They'd have to go somewhere else. And maybe they come to you, and maybe you have the infrastructure, the foundations, the systems, the CEO level thinking to be able to deal with more clients. And maybe your business goes from good to great. Maybe it goes from great to world class. Maybe it goes from world class to top 1%, respected and revered. I want to talk to you today about the three behaviors that you won't do that would have made you thousands, if not tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I want to talk to you about these three behaviors. They're completely unconnected. They're just three of the behaviors that we know, see, and experience top, the very best of our salons doing right now to stand out above the rest, to turn right when everyone else is turning left, to be different, and in being different, standing out from the crowd and capturing your client's attention. The first of the three behaviors is what I would call becoming a communication expert. Now, you don't have to go to school to become a communication expert. You don't even have to do a course to become a communication expert. But what I do want to point out is that most salon owners, they send out a really, really pretty newsletter. And it's saying the same stuff every single month. Like, it really is. Like, I get them. I'm like, same stuff. And visually, like, my unconscious mind, it views it as like it's the same as before. Now, maybe you send one out every week. Great, fantastic. That's good. That's better than monthly. But if it's not getting the open rate or click-through rate that you want, it's probably because the email or what you're writing in and of itself is actually, it's not great. And that's not because you're not a great writer. It's because you don't understand some fundamentals around communication. And so if I were to get 5 emails from 5 different salons, I'm seriously, like, they all pretty much sound the same. Like, really soft, fluffy language that doesn't really say anything, doesn't really grab my attention. And it makes me want to delete that email, like, really fast, because it doesn't cut through. Like, it's just not relevant. It's not piercing my attention. And I know what you're thinking. It's like, well, that's our brand, Joel. Like, this is who we are. You know, like, we love and care for our clients, and we want that to be reflected in the email. It's like, trust me, it's showing up in the open rate. It's showing up in the open rate. And so rather than talk a whole lot about emails, because I actually think email marketing is a really, really advantageous tactic and strategy to implement into your business. Like, I'm a big fan of email, huge fan. But I tell you what the top 1% are doing, and probably one of the three behaviors that you probably won't do that would actually make you thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, is text message. So SMS. Think about it for a second. Like, how many text messages do you personally receive each day? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't receive a lot of text messages. We work in Slack at Salon Owners Collective. I get hundreds of Slack notifications. My email, there's dozens of emails, notifications on social media, loads. But text messages, SMS, not that many. Like, it's not a lot. So what that means in my brain is that the few text messages that I do get actually become quite important. Like, you don't even have to try to do this. It just happens as part of how the brain works. And so what we're really looking for is, how do you send a text message that captures your ideal client's attention at the right time and get them booked into the thing or buying the thing. So the real question is there an opportunity for you to integrate text messaging into your business? And of course, the answer is yes, absolutely. I could do that, Joel. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to set it up. There's a lot of how that is missing, right? But I want you to imagine this for a moment. I want you to imagine that it's like 8 o'clock on a cold Wednesday night. And for the first time in the whole day, your ideal client sits down and they're having a bit of a scroll on their phone, or they've got some TV going on in the background. Maybe they've got a glass of wine in their hand. And it's like 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden a text message arrives from you. And the wording is not invasive. It's actually really relevant. Unconsciously, your ideal client feels like they're in this time of the day, which is me time. It's me time. 8 o'clock, the kids are down, the dishes are done, the dinner's been cooked, the washing's a mess, whatever. I'm just going to have half an hour to myself, thinks your ideal client. And then this text message arrives and it pierces the attention of the ideal client because they've got all these apps open and they're here, there, and everywhere. But a text is unique, it's different. It's not something I get a lot of. And again, the communication is not invasive. It is perfectly worded, reminding the ideal client that they deserve beauty, hair, confidence, whatever it is that you're selling. My wife got one not long ago. She's actually subscribed to like loads of salon database. So my wife was a salon manager for many, many years and has worked in the industry for many, many years. And she's subscribed to loads of salons, email lists. But there's only one that text messages her. And it said at the end, reply me. And I thought that was brilliant, right? Because it's me time. Reply me. So this is what I mean about being a communication expert. Like, don't go to school and become a communication expert. Like, just be a great communicator. And I think with AI now, like, you can cut through years, months, weeks, hours of training and just literally do what works. Like, it's all out there. Like, how you do stuff is pretty well known now. So I think that's the first behavior, right? Is you want to become a communication expert, and specifically, instead of sending just emails, you want to send a text message with a really good cadence, with really good words in the text that hit your ideal client at the perfect time. Now, there is a perfect time. Just like with email, worldwide, there's data that suggests Thursday morning between 4 and 5 a.m. This is just like lie in bed a little bit longer on a Thursday morning for most people compared to the first 3 days of the week. Likely to open email. Likely to go to what's most recent. It's like proven. There's data that backs that up. The same is true with text. And I think sending out a really well thought out cadence of text messages, not every week, at the right time, to the right person, with the right words, could transform your business, whether you're selling a VIP night, a membership, a killer offer that you're running at the moment, whatever it is. I really do believe that text message is part of the top 1% behaviors. Okay, number two, behavior that you probably won't do that would make you thousands and thousands of dollars. Number two is you've got to make the numbers for your team easy. You've got to make the numbers for your team easy. Now, I know what you're thinking, Joel. I'm not even that good with numbers. Like, in fact, I run that way when the numbers are coming this way. When my coach says, hey, how are the numbers going? Or have you updated your numbers? It's like, I don't like that. I want to put earplugs in, a blindfold on, and run for the hills. Like, I get it, right? Like, you're wired to serve. You're wired to care. You're wired to produce amazing things. And you do that so, so well. And generally speaking, what we see is that part of what makes a top 1%er that has a resilient business that will outperform and outlast time and every competitor is someone that starts to open up around numbers. Like if you can open up and just track like a couple of real basic numbers, you're going to be in the top 1%. Now, that doesn't mean that your team members need to become number-centric people, but you do need to be able to break down numbers for them in a way that's relevant. So I'm going to give you the fast track today. Is that okay? Can I give you the fast track on how you break down the numbers for your team in a way that's easy for them to understand so that they're motivated to make it happen? Is that okay? So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask the team member one-on-one, like, what do you want to make? Like, do you want to make $50,000? Do you want to make $70,000? Do you want to make $100,000? Like, what do you want to make? Now, for most young people, not all, and I'm generalizing to the max, so I hope I don't offend anybody, they're going to say something like, I don't know, or I don't really care, or more, you know, something like that, right? And I think you need to push them. Like, this is the opportunity for you to challenge your people. And the way that you do that is you ask them the question, why? Now, we have a worksheet that our owners like literally give to their people and they just answer the 9 questions and it's like done. But you really want to, without asking why, you need to ask why. So let's just say I work for you, I earn $50,000 and you say to me, so how much do you want to earn? Like, what's the goal? And I say, well, $75,000 would be amazing. Then your question to me is like, why? Like, what do you get if you make $25,000 more? And you got to, they've got to be able to answer that, because this is where you connect money to meaning. And this is the problem, is most people are messed up around money, like including yourself, including myself. Like 99% of people are messed up around money. Some of us are better than others, but generally all of us are messed up. So we avoid the topic, like religion, like politics, like talking about ourselves. We just never go there, right? And that's okay. But I think your better future lies in having more transparency around numbers. I'm just going to assert that for a second. So the first question is, how much do you want to make? The second question is, why do you want to make that? Like, let's get into the details around why you want to make that much money. And in that process, you don't have to do anything. They will connect money to a better life for them. And part of that process also means that they become more connected to the idea of making money. So the power lies in the questions. And then, let's just say they say $75,000. Then your question to them is like, how much in client revenue do you need to make each week in order to land 12 months from now with $75,000 in your bank account, right? Like, what is that? Like, make it easy for them. Like, bit of paper, calculator, like, make that super easy. I think that's really, really important. So they know every single week, oh, I need to bring in $6,000 in client revenue, for example, in order for me to hit target, in order for me to clear that much every single week or fortnight, so that at the end of the year, I make $75,000. Then you're going to break that down again. You're going to go, how much is that each day? And if they work 4 days, that's obviously a different formula to if they work 5 days. So you're going to work that out. Every single day, I need to make, in this case, $1,000 a day, whatever it is. And then on the day when you do your morning daily huddle with your team, you're going to either send them a message if you're a CEO that works away from the business, or your manager or you are going to say, how much have you got booked in for today? And if they know that $1,000 for the day is the target and they've got, you know, 700 booked in, it creates the gap. It creates the gap. What's the gap? The gap is 300. And then we go, okay, like, let's just think creatively here. What could you do in order to close the gap and turn the 700 into 1,000 so that there is no gap, that the 300 is made? What are the things that you could do? And this is where you can draw on the resources and wisdom of the entire team, the entire salon, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the goal. This is how you make the numbers easy. It's simple, and simplicity is what scales. So if you've got a team of 4 and eventually you want a team of 8 or 12 and you want to make $1 million or have $200,000 salary, you want 6 weeks off a year where revenue and also your culture don't dip while you're away. Like, these are the things that you need to be thinking about. How do I make numbers really, really simple for my team in a way that they're bought into the numbers? And that process there is certainly something you should consider and think about. Can I tell you a quick story? I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a a salon owner that sent out a text message to four of her team members. And the message that she sent out was, this is how much you've got booked in for today. And this is how much you need to make in addition to what you've got booked in order to hit your target for the day. Now, of the four people that she sent it to, three of them opened the text message and saw it before the start of the workday. One of them didn't open it and see it before the start of the workday. The three that opened it ended up hitting their target that day. They closed the gap. And the person that didn't open it and read it before work didn't. They made exactly what was booked in. And so the reason that I share the story is the lesson is that just being aware of one's target and the gap is one of the most powerful ways that you can make something so, so simple scale and be so, so powerful in your business.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community and other $1 million-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
Okay, so those are the first two behaviors that you probably won't do that would make you thousands and thousands more. One is obviously become a communication expert. And specifically, that's around sending text messages. Don't just go and send text messages. Obviously, you need to do that well. You need to do that with some real good mentoring so that you do it the right way at the right time so that it lands, right? Like, we don't want to do something just because Joel said do it. We want to do it in a way that actually generates the results where our clients respect and revere us more. They return and they also increase our revenue so that we can keep operating. The second one is obviously make the numbers easy for your team. Make the numbers easy for your team. And the last one is actually quite technical. So if you're sitting down, I'd love you to, if you're listening to this on your phone, I'm going to get you to open up your Instagram app in a second. Assuming that you use Instagram as a way to market things in your business, and I want to talk really, really briefly about the power of social media or social content. And I reckon there's a lot of noise out there around this, and I think being a top 1% salon, first of all, you need to be profitable. And if you're profitable, then I think that it's a really good idea to employ someone either short-term, short, like casual, part-time, and eventually maybe even full-time that is in charge of content, capturing content, creating content as in editing it quickly, and then managing the results of that content. Those are kind of like the three parts. And I'm going to tell you why. At different times in your business, you're going to need to sell people who are on social media. You're going to need to sell them on a job that's available in your salon, on an idea that you want people to buy into, on a problem that they may be experiencing with their hair or with their skin, on a membership that you've got available that you want to sell more of, on a VIP night where you're looking to create more content, but also maybe even connect people more to your brand and to your business, and so many other things. Like, you're in the business of attention and selling things that people really need. And in order to do that, you can, old school, put up a billboard, which I know you're not going to do that. And even if you did, like, that's not a terrible idea. Like, people are looking at billboards. But I would say that rather than, I would say that the most important thing that you can do is get really, really good at content. Now, I don't mean change your entire job role, but I do mean become profitable, hire someone to edit, capture, and distribute content for your salon. Like, someone that's not busy in your salon, someone that has a block around working with clients, but is really savvy and good with their phone. Like, they, you know, you watch them on their phone and they're just like, oh my gosh, this person is like fast and savvy and really efficient. Like, this is some of the power of the people that you've got on your team. And you want them to produce content like in like high volumes. So when I say high volumes, like, it's probably going to start off with like a reel a week, and then it's going to be a reel a day, and then it's going to be a reel every 3 to 6 hours. And it might even become more than that. But if you're trying to sell something like a killer offer or more of the service or your brand awareness, or like I said, a VIP night or whatever it is, one of the fastest ways that you can do that is through content. So with all of that being said, how do I actually do that? What do I need to do, Joel? Like, what's the thing? So I want you to open up your Instagram app, and I want you to go to your main profile, and along the lowest bar, there's kind of like your feed, and then there's like, I think, reels. But I want you to go to the area, I think it's the third tab along, where it just shows you the amount of eyeballs on your reels. So it's just got your reels. The problem with static posts is it doesn't measure something that's really, really important for getting your content in front of like 10 times more eyeballs than you need to at the moment. So what we're going to do is, let's just say you want to hire somebody. You obviously create a job and you put it on whatever your local country's platform is, and you spend like $800 or whatever it may be, and nothing happens. And you're like, damn. So what I'm suggesting is that actually the person that you need to come into your business is spending 1 minute a week on average on that platform where that job's been advertised. And by contrast, 300 minutes a week on Instagram. And so it's like, well, where should we probably focus our attention? And of course, the answer is where the person, the potential likely candidate for this job actually is. And so what we want to do is we want you to post a reel, not a carousel, not a static post, not a video, a reel. And the reason why we want you to post a reel is because at the moment, the algorithm rewards reels. And I know that's a real generalization. And if you're a social media expert, you'd be like, what the hell is Joel talking about? But hear me out. So when you post a reel, most people are like, how many people have looked at it? Or they're looking at the amount of likes, the engagement metric, the comments, or the shares. Now, all of those are useful to some extent, but they are not the major metric that you need to unlock wild levels of success in terms of getting the thing you're trying to sell, whether it's a job or a VIP night or a new killer offer or a new service or a column that has just opened up because you've got a new team member. Whatever it is that you're trying to sell, you do this through effective reels. And none of those metrics that I just mentioned are going to get you there, because you're actually tracking the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong number. So what we're looking for, and you can see this when you click into any reel in the back end, is you're looking for the average watch time of the reel. So let's just say you've got a reel and it's 10 seconds long, okay? And in that reel, it links them to the job advert that's available. But in that 10-second reel, the average watch time, we want that to be over 7 seconds. Said another way, we want it to be over 70%, okay? So if you have a reel and the average watch time is over 70%, it's good. It's good. Give yourself a high five. You can finally look in the mirror and go like, I did a good job. I created some good content. If it's below 70%, there might be some good things about it, but overall, the platform is not rewarding you for that piece of content. Like, it's not that great. Now, it's not the only metric that matters, but that is the gold standard, the average watch time. And so that would be my encouragement is to, number one, start making a reel. Just make a reel. You make a reel, you're probably going to spend 3 hours editing it. This is what I tell all of the owners that I get to work with, is like, don't go for perfect. The concept, get the concept perfect, but the execution doesn't need to be perfect. Like, you know, but my brand, Joel, it's so perfect. And, you know, the letters and the vibe and the color palette. It's like, forget all of that. Attention and cutting through attention, stopping the scroll, that's what matters, right? And you can always, like, at the end of the reel, have like a half a second, like, visual of your brand, logo, colors, whatever the case may be. But most of the work is done in the first half of any reel, like the first couple of seconds, the first 5 seconds. So number one is we want to create a reel. You can do that. I know you can do that. Don't make it perfect. Make the concept perfect. The concept is I need to create some content that gets people to watch it for more than 70% of the time of the reel. Now, don't do a reel over 20 seconds. Like, it's not going to do well. Like, I'd be like 15 seconds and under, 10 seconds even better. Yeah? And you want to really, really focus on a really good hook. Obviously, that's kind of like the most important thing because that's going to get people staying longer than the first second or two. And once you've done that, if you can get content above 70%, now you're in the game. Now Instagram is going to reward you beyond showing it to your followers, which is good. But now it's going to show it to all your followers and another layer of non-followers and then another layer of non-followers. And that's how it works, right? If the average watch time is high enough, it rewards you by giving you these kind of like these levels of people that see it. Now, the more people that see it, the more likely it is that that person that's currently working at another salon or is sitting on the bus or is sitting at home on the couch is going to see that piece of content. And because it's engaging and almost every person that's watched it has watched it for more than 70% of the duration, they'll watch it too. And if they are the right candidate for that offer, for that job, they're probably going to click on the thing and read the thing. And guess what? You just saved yourself hours and hundreds of dollars on job platforms, trying to get the words right and trying to get all the things right. And why isn't my $800 ad working? So average watch time, that is the piece of the puzzle that is currently missing. Okay, team. Let me summarize. Most salons will not survive. Time frame, not going to tell you what that time frame is. The right question is, how do I get into the top 1%? Three behaviors that I shared with you today that are really going to help you to accelerate towards that top 1%. Number one is, of course, become a communication expert and really start to consider the benefits of text message at the right time, doing the right cadence, saying the right thing, in addition to your already amazing email strategy. Number two is, of course, make the numbers easy for your team. If you make the numbers easy for your team, they're connected to why those numbers are important. Honestly, the awareness of just knowing what the target is, knowing what the gap is, and then sharing the wisdom of the team, of the group, to be able to say, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. Honestly, you're going to accelerate confidence, and maybe even more importantly, accelerate growth and salary in your team faster than anything else. So make the numbers easy for your team. And number three, we just talked about it. Reels are the way forward. If you're going to sell something, make a reel. And if you are making a reel, make sure that you're tuned into the number one metric, which is average watch time. I hope this has been useful. Three behaviors you probably won't do that would have made you thousands.
And that's a wrap. Thanks, Joel. Now, the salons that move into the top 1% are not waiting for business to feel easier. They're building the structure that makes growth easier. Better communication, cleaner numbers, content that actually cuts through. That's what creates momentum. And if you know your salon has more potential that your results are showing, Salon Mastery might just be the exact place that you are looking for. So you can apply to Salon Mastery. We'll discuss a strategy plan for your salon. We'll look at where you are now, what it is that's holding you back, and what you need to shift so that you can move towards that $1 million salon or more if you're already there. But the main thing is that you do it with more clarity, prioritize profit, and that you feel like you're in control of your business. We'll take that number of clients that you have each month, because we only take a small number of new owners every month, because the coaching is personal, it's strategic, and we work on your business, not you come in and work in my program. Does that make sense? So you can apply for Salon Mastery in the show notes of this episode, and you can book a call. Come and have a chat and let's see if Salon Mastery is the right fit for you. All right, next week's episode is one of my favorites. I really look forward to sharing it with you. So I'll see you there, same time, same place on the podcast. Ciao for now.